Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
To me, the person who makes a book is like the author of that scrapbook. And I like to see that person in the book somehow. And from looking at thousands of books made by other people, I just see the many different ways that people approach that.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 233. In this episode, I'm joined by Mandy Ross, a passionate collector of scrapbooks from 1840 to 1940. Our conversation includes why she loves these personal time capsules, some of her most interesting finds, and her own journey into scrapbooking. Hey, Mandy, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Thanks for having me.
I am looking forward to our conversation today. You're a little bit of a different type of guest, and I think our audience is going to just love it. But can you start by sharing a little bit about yourself?
My name is Mandy. I live in Santa Rosa, California with my husband. We don't have any pets or kids, but we do have a pretty bird-friendly patio. So I like to think of the hummingbirds as part of my pets. And I collect scrapbooks made by other people, made between 1840 and 1940. And so I don't necessarily scrapbook every day, but I am looking at scrapbooks every day, other people's scrapbooks.
So fun. I can't wait to peel back the layers on your collection and this hobby and how it has influenced you. And I just have to note that we put up a bird feeder, I think it was last fall. And it has just been so delightful to have it outside like our breakfast table window and being able to see the birds every day, especially in the spring. And yeah, I love that too.
Yes, so. It's fun. And I just added a fountain too. So I have a little bit of the hummingbird feeder plus the fountain, and the birds come and they do their cute, water time there. It's nice.
Yes. Yeah. I remember my grandparents had a bird bath. It was so fun. And I think eventually it broke because it was like concrete or something, but that would be really cool to add. So I always like to ask our guests, what is exciting them right now? So what's one thing kind of outside of the realm of scrapbooking in your everyday life? And then one thing that's inside of the scrapbooking world that's exciting you right now?
Non-scrapbooking would be that I'm a teacher. I'm a lecturer at San Francisco State University. And at the day of recording this, we're about 3 days away from the start of fall semester. So I have that back to school excitement, but just from the teacher's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. What subject do you teach?
I'm in the kinesiology department, and I teach classes like computer applications and science, sport, and fitness and peak performance and research methods and kinesiology.
Oh, very fun. I love the diversity of that there. Yeah, my daughter is an athlete, and I'm always like thinking about, she's only 12, but like, okay, should she read like Tom Brady's book? Does she need to like learn about how she can like improve her performance and her mindset in order to be a stronger athlete? So I'm sure those are really fun conversations.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot there.
So what about the one scrapbooking thing?
My one scrapbooking thing I would say is this morning. So I actually won an auction this morning before the interview on eBay. So I bought a new, or at least new to me, scrapbook. It's on its way. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to hopefully win the auction at 6:30. I'll do the interview at 7:30. And that's my nice scrapbooking morning. And so far, so good.
Yay. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
Would it be too bold of me to ask you how much you paid for this? Like, I don't even know, like, the realm of, you know, investment.
I know.
The collect this type of thing.
Pricing is so, there's no standard price guide. I mean, my goal is always to pay as little as possible. Morning was $100. It doesn't really mean anything. I've bought really great books for a lot less, and I've spent more than that. But
yeah,
it's hard with auctions. You never know. It really depends how many people are interested and all that.
Do you feel like you have, like, a good number of competitors out there? Have you met others who kind of are in the same sphere as you and have similar interests?
That's tough. I think for me, I have the most competition when there's something in the scrapbook that's highly collectible. So for example, okay. I don't know, people like to collect vintage Santa. And so if there's antique vintage Santa in the scrapbook, I think, all right, if the Santa Claus people see it, they're going to want the scrapbook. Or people are interested in, let's say, a World War I letter. So if there's a World War I letter in the scrapbook, I'm like, all right, that gives me more competition. But in terms of people who are collecting just scrapbooks, I feel like maybe there's less people who are just interested in the scrapbooks across the board. But I know they are out there too.
Okay, very cool, very cool. I was able to go through some boxes from my grandparents, and my grandma kept a scrapbook all through the war when my grandpa was away, and it was just so neat to look through. It's still at my parents' house, but talking to you and looking at your website, like, I know it's going to make me want to make sure I'm preserving those things as well, and maybe even doing some photographing to share with others, so.
Yes, yeah, funny for me, I don't have any scrapbooks from family members. So I have so many books. They're all from people I don't know.
I saw that you had started scrapbooking yourself.
I did.
Are you still doing that?
I started my first official scrapbook in January of 2020. And I had just gone on a trip and I went to London and I thought, okay, let me do a travel scrapbook. So I got a small Promptly journal for that. And that got me started. And then when I got home, I started my first scrapbook. I wanted to use a 1920s, 1930s style. So I told myself I need a book and I need glue, and I'll see how it goes. And I'm actually really glad that I did, because now I still add to the same book even now.
Oh, that's really fun. Now, so we always ask our guests about their memory keeping bucket list. And I'm not 100% sure if this question is even relevant to you, but are you including kind of stories of your life in it? And is there an important story you still want to, like, capture in your own kind of broader world of memory keeping?
I like to document really everyday types of things. And something I think about a lot is how I'm documenting it, because I see so many different examples in the scrapbooks that I have. So for example, one thing I want to try to do is have a kitchen or a food themed scrapbook. I'm not really sure how I want to go about it, but I really like when people save different parts of food packaging, and it's fun to look back on over time. So I'm thinking, okay, how could I do that? Am I interested enough in food packaging right now? Or do I want to have a theme, or do I want to have it be, bracketed by time? So maybe I'll do what do I find in a month? Or do I want more of a theme? For example, I have one book where a lady saved tea tags over a 30-year period. And so the book all tea tags, and they used to be interesting shapes with interesting designs, sometimes shaped like a teapot or something like that. And she dated most of them and said where they were from. So I'm like, okay, well, that's a theme. Do I want a theme? So I am interested in doing some kind of food kitchen-related documentation.
Oh, that sounds so fun. And I think this connects well to kind of your overall perspective, is that scrapbooks are time capsules. And so when we think about all of the stuff of life and how it changes over time, and the tea tag example is just a wonderful one. That's so fascinating. Trying to think of what I would do, like maybe something related to coffee, because I'm always like, I go on like a binge of like, this is the kind of coffee I'm drinking right now, whether it's cold brew or hot. And then, you know, something will shift, maybe the weather, and then I'll shift to something else. So that would be fun too.
Right. Yeah. Or I'm thinking, I shop a lot at Trader Joe's and their aesthetic is a little bit vintage. Their packaging is pretty nice. So I'm thinking I could focus on that, but then I don't want to, I don't necessarily want to buy things just for the packaging, but I know myself that I would start to do that. And then I don't know, am I documenting my life if I'm just buying cute stuff? I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's an interesting conundrum of, and I think that's something even we all think about in the kind of the more modern scrapbooking world is how much of what we're doing is because we want to scrapbook it versus what we do normally.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it's okay. Like to have a, you know, a collection of things, people, whether you're a stamp collector, comic book collector, you're trying to collect representative items of a thing, whether or not you're actually using it. So.
That's true. And obviously I do have that collector bug. You know, I like to collect things. I like to collect scrapbooks, which are in a lot of ways, other people's collections. And so it's hard for me to not collect new things. So like, oh, I collect stickers now, or like I collect washi tape, you know, and I just need to be careful because I like that process of collecting and curating a collection.
Yes, that's how I ended up with all of the inks of one particular line. So for stamping.
Yes.
So tell me more about Paper of the Past. It's the name of your blog, your Instagram handle. You mentioned the dates at the beginning, but I'm curious, like, can you share your specs of what you collect versus what you don't collect and then how you like to share it?
I say it's easy for me to say that I collect scrapbooks made by other people between 1840 and 1940. That's a nice, it's nice. It looks good in a bio and it's pretty accurate. Will I collect books earlier than that? Yes. Do I have a couple books from 1943 and 1950? I do. But in general, my collection fits into that 1840 to 1940. And a lot of that is because of the scrapbooking styles that were popular in those times. Those are the kinds that really stand out to me. And that's what I've focused on over time.
I'm curious, what is it about those styles versus other time periods that you really enjoy or appreciate?
The biggest difference would be that Victorian scrapbooks are typically just very visually pleasing. There's not a lot of personalization or handwriting in a Victorian scrapbook. You see a lot of calling cards, die cuts, things like that, a lot of florals, and they look nice. And so for that reason, just because they look pretty, I like Victorian scrapbooks. But when you get into 1900, 1910, 1920s, and even the 1930s, that's when people started to personalize their books much more, where you see handwritten captions, you see photos because photos are more available by then, and they start to save things from their daily life. So I think of a 1920s, 1930s scrapbook as they had a book and they had glue, and then they went out into the world and tried to see what they could find, almost like a scavenger hunt of saving little pieces of their everyday life. And that could be anything from, I've seen people, they saved a piece of their roommate's wicker hamper. So it's like, all right, we got that. One person saved half a broken record. Another person saved a puppy's tooth. So I'm like, well, I have a puppy tooth. So with those 1920s, 1930s books, it's the fun of seeing, well, what did people save?
Yes, for sure. It's so interesting to see how these, what they're saving, what they're using is evolving with what's available. You mentioned photos. And you mentioned florals in the older Victorian area scrapbooks. What type of florals were they? Are we talking about real flowers that are like dried, or are we talking about like images? What does that look like?
I'm thinking more of the die-cut scraps.
Okay.
So printed florals. And I know back then the language of flowers was really popular. And so they just saved a lot of that. There are some pressed flowers, but that is a little more rare to find in Victorian books.
Sure, sure. I'm sure those do decompose as well. How did you get started doing this?
I always loved books, even as a kid. So even as the youngest kid, I would be excited to save money and go and buy a book and put a lot of thought into what book am I going to buy? And I was always reading. I read at recess. I tried reading when I walked to school, which didn't work out very good. So I've always had this love for books as something that's exciting and fun and all of that. So I think a lot of it comes from that, because when I'm buying books, even now, it feels similar to that. It's that kind of that excited book feeling, I guess. And mm-hmm. I think of scrapbooks as they are obviously their books, but they're also beloved books that people made for themselves or for, you know, for memories. So I think there's a nice connection there. If I think all the way back to like, well, what did I like as a kid? But moving on from that, I started collecting postcards, old postcards. That's a good place to start if you have a lower budget, especially as a middle schooler or high schooler. I would go and just dig through old postcards as often as I could and look for ones with the most personality or the most story, the most interesting thing about them. And I would slowly collect the postcards that I liked. And I think moving from there, once scrapbooks got on my radar, it was like scrapbooks are like a postcard times 100, because obviously there's more in there. Sometimes there's postcards in the book. So yeah, it went from I love books to I love old postcards to I collect scrapbooks now.
Do you still have all those old postcards that you've collected?
I have some. I do not have them all, sadly. I wish I did, but I still like browsing through postcards even now. If I go, it's harder to find, I think, these days, but if I go to an antique shop with crates and crates of old postcards, you know, with the plastic dividers by subject and all of that, I like to pull up a chair and dig through and see if I can find anything.
So we go to this festival every fall in Indiana. It's called the Covered Bridge Festival. And there's this one vendor that every year they have just rows and rows of old postcards, like thousands of them. And my husband and I are always kind of just digging through them just for fun to see if there's locations that are like meaningful to us, or reading some of the stories in the back to see what people had to say. And yeah, we love that too. It's really fun.
That is fun. And I have one scrapbook, I think from, I want to say 1906, and the person cut up old postcards that were sent to them over time, but they're all the really bright color, nice postcards from that time period. And they cut those up and made scrapbook pages by holiday. So there's like an Easter page and a Christmas page and a Thanksgiving page, and it's all the postcards. And there's some loose pieces. So when you look at the back of the piece, you see that it's a postcard with handwriting and postmarks and everything. And
anyway, that's really fun.
That was a nice mix of my postcard love and my scrapbook love to see a scrapbook made entirely of postcards like that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. When you like step back, like what is it that you really love about this hobby?
I think it is the thrill of the hunt and then the surprise, because I never know what I'm going to find and I never know what the person is going to save. And it's really exciting, kind of going back to the postcard example, it's exciting to look through a lot of stuff and then find that one story that sticks out. There's something about that that I really like. I've always liked the idea of things like a hidden thing that you find. So as a kid, I wanted to find a hidden time capsule. You know, I wanted to go to some abandoned Victorian house and find a time capsule in the attic or something like that. So for me, it's the little bit of the mystery of it and then uncovering the mystery and seeing what people did, just seeing different types of creativity over time.
Do you try to like build a persona that like goes with the scrapbook of trying to like figure out based on what's in it, like who was this person? What did they care about? What was their life like?
I do, because for me, I try to buy scrapbooks where the person's personality really shines through. Sometimes that's through their style. They have such a distinctive style that you just feel, or I feel like I know the person, or I know something about the person. I know that they were unique and creative, or their personality shines through by what they write. So their captions are funny or they're extra detailed. So for me, I do want the person to jump off the page. And if I don't get that vibe, I guess, from the scrapbook, then I usually won't buy it. So that's a roundabout answer. Is my goal is that I do really want to feel like the person is there in the book.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned eBay auction earlier, but where are the typical places that you find new scrapbooks for your collection?
eBay is the main source. And I hate saying that because I don't want to invite thousands of people to bid with me. You know what I mean? But eBay is the place where I can look a little bit every day. I have access to sellers all across the country, if not the world. And if I'm willing to dig and search and all of that and put in the time, if I look often enough, I can find, obviously, the things that I've found that you can see on my Instagram and things like that. So yeah, eBay is a great source.
And do you like use any specific archival methods or supplies to protect your collection? How, like, I imagine some of these things are particularly fragile. So how do you store things?
My first thing is if the scrapbook is very dusty or dirty, I do dust them a little bit with brushes, soft brushes, and things like that. My go-to box is the Pioneer Jumbo Scrapbook Box. That's what I started with. And now I just buy them 3 at a time, 6 at a time. I always have empty ones, new ones ready and waiting. I also hope that gives me a little luck. So I'm like, all right, I have the boxes. I just need to find something now. And I keep as much as possible, I keep them in boxes. Some don't fit, obviously, in that box. And sometimes that's a deterrent to me. I think, all right, this book is not going to fit in my box. I don't necessarily want to buy it, but if it's really cool, I'll buy it. But yeah, the Pioneer Jumbo Scrapbook Box, I have a lot of those. I like them. They stack well. And then for some books, I'll put archival tissue paper in between the pages.
Do you have any kind of like index of all of your books, like spreadsheet, database, Airtable, or is your blog kind of the record of them?
I don't have an index. I think about that a lot because it would be nice to have. I have my eBay records. I know I know what I've bought. But for me, my Instagram account is really showing me what I have, which isn't the best system, obviously. But with my boxes that I have, I label the boxes on the outside. And then I started within the last year or two, I have a color-coded system by decade. So I know, the purple, the ones with the purple tabs are Victorian era, the ones with the yellow tabs are from the 1930s, things like that. That helps me have that quick visual if I'm looking for something specific.
And do you have an idea of how many you have?
The number I like to say is 500, but I'm not sure. It could be a little bit more. It could be a little bit less, but it's definitely in the hundreds. And because the reason the number is hard is because I also collect letter lots and diaries and things like that. So I kind of include all of that in the items.
Sure. So you mentioned a little bit of this already, but when you're looking on eBay, you're trying to figure out, okay, is this something that I want to bring into my collection? What are you thinking about in terms of what makes it interesting or unique?
I have a few things that draw me in. The first thing is the personality piece that I mentioned before. Especially because I'm looking on eBay often. So I'm looking for a scrapbook that I have anywhere from 1 to, I think now it's 24 photos or something like that. But I have a handful of photos that I'm looking at online. And does the person's personality shine through in the pictures? That's what I'm looking for.
What about in terms of like construction or, items used, things like that?
Right. So another thing I look for is I look for things that I haven't seen before because I have so many scrapbooks now and I've seen thousands and thousands, looking all the time. And I like to now see something where I go, wow, I've never seen anybody do that, whether it's a style or something that they saved. An example of that would be, it's actually pretty rare for people to modify the cover of their books. I mean, now it's probably normal now, but even at Victorian times, 1910s, 20s, 30s, you very, very rarely see anybody modify the cover of their book. And so the few times that I've seen that, it's caught my attention. And I have one example of a Victorian book, one example of a 1920s book, and one example from 1940s. But the 1920s book is interesting because she put a picture of herself on the cover of her scrapbook. I love that because not only did she modify the cover, but she put herself front and center, which actually not a lot of people do. So I have this other thing in mind where some people are behind the scenes of their own scrapbook, which I think is okay if that's a conscious choice. But I like to see that. I like to see the person who made the book reflected in the book. And so she put her face on the cover. That is something that I want to have. And yeah, I'm very happy to have that one.
You know, I think that's something that scrapbookers struggle with today of, you know, it's sometimes hard to put yourself as the center of attention, even though this is your story that you're telling.
Right. And I don't think it's conceited. I know some people might be worried, well, who cares about me? This is about other people or whatever it may be. To me, the person who makes the book is like the author of that scrapbook. And I like to see that person in the book somehow. And from looking at thousands of books made by other people, I just see the many different ways that people approach that. Anywhere from putting their face on the cover, and every caption is first person. Like, I did this, I went here. But then there's other books where it's really outward focused and you almost don't know. You don't know too much about the person who made the book besides obviously that they made the book, but they don't talk about themselves.
That's so fascinating. Are there any favorite stories or surprises that you have found and discovered over the years?
My recent favorite is I bought a collection of letters that are, I want to say there's probably 25 letters. They were mostly written around 1901, 1902, and they're written by a young girl writing home to her family. And the letters themselves are pretty intriguing and interesting. She's talking about going out in nature and what she's doing throughout the day. But they get cooler and cooler over time because what happens is, I want to say, it's hard for me to piece it together, but it seems like maybe 50 or 60 years later, the younger sister annotates the letters by taping little notes to each one. And she is talking about, like, I remember this happened on this day. I remember the way this smelled. Or she'll say, this must have been dad's birthday that they went to Coney Island or something like that. So the fact that it's the old letters plus the annotation 50 or 60 years later. And then within the letter collection, there's a note from the lady, the younger sister who's annotating. She writes this little handwritten note and she's giving the letters to somebody else in the family. It doesn't say who, but she says something like, these are the letters I told you about. Feel free to read them and throw them away, or just throw them away. And I don't know. Anyway, I could think about that for a while, but the whole lot has, to me, the whole ecosystem, which is the letter writing, which documents the time as it's happening. And then the thought that the letters were saved by the parents and then saved by the sister. Then the sister reflects back and writes her own memories on the letters, which is rare. I could talk about that for a while, but I think people rarely go back and add information to scrapbooks and stuff. So I like when people do that. So she goes back and adds, and then she tries to hand it on. And even that little note of not being super sure if the person is going to care, I think that's a big part of the process too. And to me, the fact that the letters are still all together at least hints to me that, of course, they were saved. They were saved. They're still together now. And then for me, I feel like, well, I have them now. And it's not in the family, obviously, but I know that I'm going to save them for a long time. And that whole process is fun. It's just a fun surprise for me, especially because I didn't know all of that when I bought the letters. They were intriguing. I'm like, those look pretty cool. The price was low. I thought, let me just give it a chance and see. And when I got them, when they actually arrived here at my house, I thought, wow, these are better than I even knew.
Well, I think it really underscores that individual stories matter, and often even far beyond your own family. Right. That we can all learn from them, appreciate them, connect past experiences of others to our own lives, and just like deepen that sense of gratitude and the opportunity we have to keep our own memories. So fun, so fun. So we talked a little bit that you started scrapbooking in January 2020. Little did you know you'd have to stay home more and perhaps spend more time doing crafty things.
Right.
Kind of what led to that, and how are you approaching it today? You mentioned wanting to do a food thing. Are you still just like journaling in the one book you mentioned?
Well, I did start my first book in January. I think it's January 26th is the first page of 2020. And I was really excited because I'd just gone to London on a trip and came home, and it was the new year and it was 2020. And I thought, now I'm finally going to really scrapbook and use everything that I've learned from the collection to see what it's actually like day by day. And yes, of course, it became a pandemic scrapbook, which was an interesting challenge because I was like, I still wanted to scrapbook, but I was at home. You know, so what do you scrapbook when you just stay home all the time? And I found different ways. A lot of lists, and I kept track of new words and phrases that were coming up in the news, where these are words we would have never, like, what does that even mean? What is that? And then we would just have this new word. I started documenting that day by day. If things would come up, like, I don't know, elbow bump, right? Like, elbow bump. What's an elbow bump? Oh, that's when, you know, you can't shake hands and you have to elbow bump. All right. That's a new word. So I did that. But the best part of me starting a scrapbook is it really taught me a lot more about the collection that I have, because by doing it, I realized, oh, this is what it's like. You add to the book over time, and it starts as a blank book, and you start filling in the pages, and every page, it's a page of decisions. You know, I'm making these choices of like what to include and how to include it. And that's interesting to me. I noticed, okay, sometimes I only have 15 minutes and I'm just trying to get a break. And so I'm scrapbooking really quickly. Then there's other times when I have all this time that I can kind of relax and enjoy the process more. So for me, experiencing that firsthand, it made me understand the other people's scrapbooks. I'm like, oh, it's probably like that for them. And so I'm glad now. I'm like, oh, how could I not scrapbook? I mean, I don't scrapbook all the time, but I think now it's an important part of my maybe weekly, monthly life.
So it's so interesting. Sometimes myself and others will scrapbook about scrapbooking. So if you ever like come across something where somebody's actually talking about their process or why they do this or anything like that, that would be so fascinating to see how it was thought about in the past.
Yes, that is. So for what I look for in a scrapbook, the first one's the personality. And then what was my other one? Oh, something unique where I was like, oh, I haven't seen that before. And then the third one is if the scrapbook references itself in some way, I really like that.
Yeah.
And for example, I'm looking at something on eBay now where the person saved a party napkin, and her caption is, I risked my dress to save this napkin. And
wow.
Yeah. And I think, oh, that's so cool. Like, she loves her scrapbook so much that she's going to parties like, oh, well, the dress, we'll see. But the napkin needs to be nice for my book. So I risked my dress for the napkin. And then there was a little birthday cake candle taped to the page. And she said, I asked for this candle for my scrapbook. So things like that.
I love that.
Yeah. That's another thing I like, is just I think people should include their process in their book if that's interesting mm-hmm. to them, because it is nice to see. Sometimes I see examples where the person is planning out the page layout and they've put little, very light pencil numbers. So it's like, oh, so something's going to be, number 15 is going to be in this corner and number 23 is going to be in the middle. This would be more for like a Victorian style. And it, I like seeing that, like, oh, that's how they planned it. They sat there and they maybe arranged it and then wrote in pencil where it goes and then glued it down. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And just how much, like, as much as things in the world and everywhere have changed, how much scrapbooking is still like it was 100 years ago, so, or more.
Yes.
So fun. So can you share where we can find you online and anything that you're kind of planning to maybe photograph and talk about soon?
The best place for people to find me would be on Instagram. My account is Paper of the Past. So anything I do new or anything like that would be talked about there. That's the best place to get an overview of my collection because I've been sharing on there since 2016. So there's a lot to see. I think as far as upcoming things, I am thinking about starting a Substack, which would give me, you know, the option to use like video and audio and all kinds of stuff. And I think that would be useful because I have so many books where I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm not doing it justice. It's not like the one carousel post does not capture the whole story and all the interesting pieces of some of these books, most of the books actually. So anyway, I'm thinking about branching out more in the near future. And then in terms of individual books, I do want to share more about the letter lot that I mentioned with the annotations. And then, of course, the book I bought this morning they already processed the packing slip. It is on its way. And so hopefully I'll be sharing a new book within a week or two.
Oh, very fun. I'm going to look forward to it. And I will include all the links to things you mentioned in the show notes for this episode. Mandy, this has been so fun. I am going to actually look up on eBay what vintage scrapbooks look like and what the options are, but I promise I won't buy anything. So,
oh, feel free. But at any given time, there's probably 50 scrapbooks for sale on eBay.
Fun.
Yes.
That's so cool. Yes.
Thank you for having me. And I look forward to listening to more of your podcast episodes as well. I just love the whole process of scrapbooking and I love people who love scrapbooks. So it's a perfect fit for me.
Yes. Yes. That's definitely all that we talk about here. So thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook your way.